Today's daf is Psachim Daf Zayin, and we are about 30 lines from the bottom of Daf Vav Amud Beis, Omer Rab Menashe Bar Tachlifa Mishmei Derav. Today's daf is being learned as a Zechus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza and Avadya Ben Miriam Leia. Today's daf is also being learned for Ilui Nishmas Avram Ben Yibad L'Chaim Toivim Reb Moshe Chaim. So the very last part of yesterday's daf discussed a machloikis between Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, Shoyalim v'dorshim, behilchas ha-Pesach, koidim ha-Pesach, shloishim yom. A person is obligated to start learning the halachas of Hilchas Pesach 30 days before Pesach. Reb Shimon Gamliel said, it's not 30 days, but rather it's 2 weeks. We discussed the Beis Yosef in Simin Tov Chav Tes, the Magen Avraham in Simin Tov Chav Tes, who discussed whether this halacha is only true in Hilchas Pesach because of the magnitude and the amount of halachas that permeate Hilchas Pesach, or whether this halacha would be true for all the Yom Tovim. But either way, a machloikis between Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chacham. According to Reb Shimon Gamliel, Shtei Shabbosos before Pesach, or maybe other Yom Tovim, you have to start learning the halachas. According to the Chachamim, it's going to be Lamed Yom. And the Gemara said, my time of the Tanakama, meaning what's the source of the Chachamim Shita? Or my time of the Reb Shimon Gamliel, what's the source to Reb Shimon Gamliel Shita? And the Gemara said that the Chachamim learned their halacha of Shloishim Yom from Pesach Sheni. Reb Shimon Gamliel learned his halacha of Shtei Shabbosos from Pesach Rishon. Moshe Rabbeinu told the Yidden about the halachas of Pesach Sheni on Pesach Rishon. It was Yudal and Nisan, and he told the Chevra that whoever is not able to partake today in the Karban Pesach, you should know in 30 days from now, there's going to be Tashlumen. There's going to be another way to do it. So Moshe Rabbeinu told the Yidden about Pesach Sheni, Lamid Yoyim before Pesach Sheni. Oh, you see from here, Shoyalim V'darshin, Behilchas HaPesach, Koidim HaPesach, Shloishim Yoyim. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, the makar to this halacha of Shtei Shabbosos is from Pesach Rishon. Because Hashem revealed himself to Moshe and Aharon in Mitzrayim and told them, HaChidesh Hazel Lochem Rosh Chodashim. And we know that took place on Rosh Chodesh. And the very next pasuk, Dabru El Kol Adas Yisrael Leimor, Ba'asal HaChidesh Hazel, V'yikchu Lohem, Ish Selah Beisop, Ish Selah Beis. He told them about the Karban Pesach. Now, when was the Karban Pesach going to be brought? On Yudal and Nisan. So you see, it was 2 weeks. It was Shtei Shabbosos before. Either way, according to the Chachamim, it's Lamed Yoyim, it's learned out from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu told Yidden about Pesach Sheni 30 days before Pesach Sheni. According to Reb Shimon Gamliel, it's Shtei Shabbosos because Moshe Rabbeinu told the Yidden about Pesach Rishon, Shtei Shabbosos before Pesach Rishon. But the Gemara is going to conclude this discussion with a very parenthetical point. And that is, we mentioned the parasha of Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is discussed in the Torah in Parshas Bahaloscha. The pasuk says in Parshas Bahaloscha, "Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'Shana Hashenis l'Tzeisa Me'eretz Mitzrayim b'Chodesh Harishon Leimer." It was the second year that the Yidden had already left Mitzrayim. They were in the Midbar. It was b'Chodesh Harishon. It was Chodesh Nisan, and you had the halachos of Pesach Sheni. The problem is that Sefer Bamidbar, the entire Sefer Bamidbar, meaning Parshas Bamidbar, chapter 1, verse 1, begins as follows. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, b'midbar Sinai, ba'oyel moyed, be'echod l'chodesh hasheni, b'shana hashenis, l'tzeisa mi'eretz Mitzrayim. So Parshas Bamidbar, Perek Tes Pasuk Aleph took place, b'shana hashenis, b'chodesh harishoy. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, which is 9 prokem earlier, took place, Bachodesh Hasheni Bashono Hashenis, which means we went backwards. So the obvious question is, how's it possible that the Parshas Bamidbar, Sefer Bamidbar, begins Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and then 9 prokem later, 3 parshias later, you're in Parshas Bahaloscha already, you are in Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So how's it possible? We seem to have gone backwards, Rosh Chodesh. That's what's bothering the Gemara at the opening of today's daf. Omer Menashe bar Tachlifa Mishmei Derav. You know what you see from this shtickle Torah? A mukdem u'mucha b'Torah. That sometimes there are parashiyos in the Torah, there's psukim in the Torah that are written out of order. Omer a papa qualified this. He said, lo yamorin el b'trei inyoni. This is only true if it's 2 different inyonim. So you have the parash in the beginning of Bamidbar. You have the parash of Pesach Sheni, which is mentioned in parashas Bal Loischa. There are 2 separate inyonim. 2 separate inyonim could sometimes be out of order. Really, Bal Loischa happened before Bamidbar. But in one parsha, in one sugya, so to speak, my demuktim muktim umay demuochem meocher. Then everything is with a cheshbon. Whatever's first happened chronologically first, and whatever's last happened chronologically last. Eloi teimahachi, I'll prove it to you, Rabbi Sekhas. That's the, if you're going to say otherwise, klalu prat, im bechlal olamash prat. One of the yud gimel midos of Rabbi Yishmael Shaturn the Drashas Ben is that if you have a klal and then a prat, there's a rule. Im bechlal olamash beprat. Now, there's another rule that says prat uklal, a whole different halacha. So, Sarah Papa, how do you know if something's a klal or prat or it's a prat uklal? Oh, first the klal, then the prat, it's a klal or prat. If it's first the prat and then the klal, then it's a prat uklal. But if ein muktam or meuchah b'tayra, so you don't really know what's first, you don't really know what's second. So, Sarah Papa said, how could you have a klal or prat? Dilma prat uklal, maybe really it's a prat uklal. Vasu, prat uklal, nasa klal musav ala prat, there's something called a prat uklal. Dilma klal or prat uklal. So, maybe every klal or prat's a prat uklal. Maybe every prat uklal is a klal or prat. So the Gemara says, must be, Rav Papa said, that Bechadin Yana, which is when we darshan klal uprat and when we darshan prat uklal, vir madam muktim muktim u madam mo'ocher mo'ocher. When is it then that ein muktim u mo'ocher b'tayra, that's only going to be true by two different inyanim? Ihachi. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, afilu betrein yani nami, by two inyanim, you don't have a klal uprat, so honi chalamandam a klal uprat amiruchakim zemize ein donen oise be klal uprat shaper. So Bishlam, according to Nanama, that says, if you have a klal and a prat, and the klal and the prat are far from each other, you don't darshin klal uprat, so it's very good. When it's far from each other, ein muktim u'mo'ocher b'tayra. When it's far from each other, you don't have the halach of klal u'prat, you don't have the halach u'prat u'klal, so everything is beautiful. Elo l'man d'ama donin, but according to the man d'ama that says, that if you have a klal and a prat, ha'miruchakim zeh mizeh, they're far away from each other, still you could darshan with a klal u'prat, mayik l'meimer. How's that going to reconcile with the halach of ein muktim u'mo'ocher b'tayra? In other words, Rav Papa said, ein muktim u'mo'ocher b'tayra is a stira to klal u'prat, because klal u'prat is predicated on the Seder. First the klal, then the prat. How do you know that? Because when it's klal and then prat, you darsh in one way. And when it's prat and then klal, you darsh in it another way. So obviously the order matters. So if that's the case, how could you say klal uprat or prat uklal and at the same time say that ein muktam u'mo'ocher b'tayra? The teretz is, oh no, klal uprat is when it's bechadin yano. But the Gemara says it's not so simple because there is a mandama that holds that you can darshan klal uprat even when the klal and the prat are meruchakim zemizeh. Doesn't that sound like even if it's betray in yoni? Even when you have the rule of ein muktim u'mo'ocher b'tayra, and if that's the case, we're back to square one. We have a stira between the principle of ein muktim u'mo'ocher b'tayra and the principle of klal uprat. So the Gemara says, no, afilu mandama donin, even the mandama that says you can darshan a klal uprat hamiruchakim zemizeh, hani mili b'chadin yana. That's only true if it's still, it's one in yana. Avol betray in yani, if it's in two separate parashiyos, ein donin. Meaning, klal uprat hamiruchakim zemizeh, according to the man number that's done him, that's only if at the end of the day, it's at least in one inyan. It's just meruchakim zemizeh. It's not in the same pasuk. It's a few psukim later, but it's still one inyan. And in one inyan, we just said, you don't darshan e muktim u'mo'ocher b'tayra. When is it that you could say e muktim u'mo'ocher b'tayra? That's only if it's trey inyanim. If it's trey inyanim, there's no sheet in the world that holds, you could darshan klal u'pratu pratu klal. So what the Gemara was saying is, two chidushim. Number one, there's something called ein muktam u'mo'ocher b'tayra. That's an interesting chidush. The Torah wasn't necessarily written in chronological order. And number two, there's the concept of ein muktam u'mo'ocher b'tayra really would be a contradiction. It would be a stira to klal u'prat and prat u'klal. And you have to say that where you have a klal u'prat, you don't have an ein muktam u'mo'ocher b'tayra. And when you have an ein muktam u'mo'ocher b'tayra, you don't have a klal u'prat. So we're qualifying when you can say and invoke the principle of ein muktam u'mo'ocher b'tayra. It's interesting because ein muktam u'mo'ocher b'tayra, if you learn Chumash, comes up often. And some of the most famous parashiyos in the Torah, there's a discussion in the Rishonim of when exactly they happen, simply based on the idea of ein muktam u'mo'ocher b'tayra. Just to mention two very quick examples. The first example is Parashas Yisro. Vayishma Yisro koyim midyan chayisa moisha, and all of a sudden Yisro arrives at the scene. So the question is, when exactly did Yisro show up? So the Ramban, right in the beginning of Parashas Yisro, literally the opening comment, kfar nechleku rabbi seinu b'parasha azoyis, yesh mehem oimrim ki koy dematan Torah b'Yisro. There are those that say that Yisro came before Matan Torah. Right, when do you have the parasha Matan Torah? It's in Parashas Yisro, but it's later on in the parasha. So it certainly sounds like first Yisro showed up, and then afterwards the Torah was given. But he says, V'yesh mehem sha'amru sha'la'acha Matan Torah bo. That really he showed up la'acha Matan Torah. Aye, the Seder. Vayishma Yisrei happened after Matan Torah? So then the opening Aliyah in Parshas Yisrei should be Matan Torah, and then afterwards Yisrei should show up. The Teretz is, Ein Mukdam U'Me'ocheh B'Torah. So this is a classic example, a Parsha that we're all familiar with, something that we've been taught as young children, where really the Seder, chronologically of how it happened, could be, was in the reverse. It could be first the Torah was given, and then afterwards Yisrei showed up. Another classic example is Parshas Korach. When exactly did the story of Korach take place? So if you follow the chronology of the Torah, you have Parshas Bamidbar, Nasai, Bahaloischa, Shlach, which is the Parsha of the Meraglim, and then afterwards, Vayikach Korach. It goes from Shlach straight to Korach. So it certainly sounds like Korach arrived after the story of the Meraglim. Stating that, the Ibn Ezra says that's not true. That Korach really came before the Meraglim. As soon as Moshe Rabbeinu said that the Levim are going to be separate and they're going to be their own machane, their own shevet of Kedusha, Korach got up and he said, what's going on over here? He said, Moshe, you're being partial to your family. You're the Melech. Your brother Aaron's the Kohen. Now you're taking ownership of the Levim. He was very disappointed. And at that point is when Korach arrived. Now, that happened in the beginning of Bamidbar. So why then is the parish of Korach first mentioned after the story of the Meraglim? So the Ibn Ezra said, Ein Mukdam U'Me'ocheh B'Torah. Sometimes the Torah will say things out of order. So the Ramban comments on the Ibn Ezra as follows. This one line, and we're going to go weiter. Zeh midaitoi shel Rabbi Avram. He said, this is all Rabbi Avram l'shitasai, meaning the Ibn Ezra l'shitasai, shehu oimer b'mekoymais rabim Ein Mukdam U'Me'ocheh B'Torah. The Ibn Ezra used to love to pull out this card. When he's mefarish the Torah, so he always says, b'mekoymais rabim Ein Mukdam U'Me'ocheh. But however, V'kvar Kosafti, says the Ramban, Ki al daiti kol ha-Torah kulo keseder. The Torah was written in order. It's not a hefker vel. You can't just say, Ein Mukdam U'Me'ocheh B'Torah. Zulasi b'mekoymos ashi yifarish ha-kosav ha-kdama va-ichur. Unless there's good evidence. You have to have a good case to make, and if you want to invoke the principle of Ein Mukdam U'Me'ocheh B'Torah, the Gam Sham, and even then, L'tzorich Inyan u'L'tam Nochon, you're going to have to rationalize it. It's going to have backup. It's going to have to make a little bit of sense. As it relates to Korach, he says, I don't have any compelling reason to argue that Korach would have showed up before Parashat Shlach. It's mentioned in the Torah after Parashat Shlach. There's no remez to it in a pasuk. I don't have any svara to say it, and as a result, it's poshit that this story happened, says the Ramban, quote, Achar Maisa Merah, either the story of Yisroi, the story of Korach. That's just interesting that the Ramban quotes the Ibn Ezra, who says, but Mekoymos Rabin, he worked with Ein Mukdam U'Me'ocheh B'Torah. The Ramban says it doesn't work that way. So it sounds like how liberal you're allowed to be with the principle of Ein Mukdam U'Me'ocheh B'Torah is maybe a Machloikis Rishonim. Machloikis Rabbi Avram, that the Ramban quotes, of course, referring to Rabbi Avram Ibn Ezra and the Ramban himself. Either way, on that note, Olam de Shigemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rab, Habaydik Tzorach Shivatel, someone that does B'dikas Chametz has to also do Bittol Chametz. So it's not enough to do B'dikas Chametz. We've seen there's something called Bittol Chametz. How does Bittol Chametz work? So we mentioned it's a machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says Bittol Chametz is midin tashbisu. It says in the Torah, Achbiye Marishin tashbisu. Hashbasa means even believe. Like the Targum Unkel says on the word tashbisu, tevatlun. And the reason there's an idea, Bittol Chametz, and the reason when you're mevatel your chametz, if you then have chametz in your house on Pesach, you're not going to violate the laws of Ayurah B'Yomotzeh, is because when you're mevatel your chametz, you're actually doing what the Torah told you to do. You're being mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu. Tosfos says, how does betel chametz work? It works mitam hefker. But either way, said Rav Yehuda, you have to do betel. Betel's not optional. It's not something you can do. It's something you have to do. Not just that. Haboidek, even if you did bedikas chametz, still tzarech sheyevatel. Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason? Why is it that if you did bedikas chametz, you have to do bittel? Now, before we learn the Gemara, if I would ask you, you did bedikas chametz, doesn't matter, you still have to do bittel, what would you say? It's pashim, maybe I missed something, right? The idea of bittel is that at the end of the day, even if I have the chametz in my rishos, no worries. I don't have to worry about it. So you would think that bedika, being that at the end of the day, there's room for human error. So it makes sense as a good backup to have a mitzvah bittel. Habaydik tzarech sheyevatel, simply because maybe you're going to miss something. It happens. So maybe that's what's going to happen. The Gemara is not going to say that. Gemara is going to say something similar. But if you learn the Gemara carefully, the Gemara will not say that. Because that would be a short, easy answer, and we don't have to have the next Gemara. So the Rishonim all say that you see from here that we trust people. And if a person says, I did a bedika, his house is now becheskas baduk, if you want to use a fancy term. But the point is we trust that you did a good bedika. So much so that if on Yontif you open up a drawer and oops, you're an oinus, you're not going to be over the lava by your raw, by your matzah. So if that's the case, the question is, so why then do you have to do bittul? Because maybe you missed something? We're not really concerned that maybe you missed something. And even if we are concerned, this is an important knesh, but at the end of the day, when you find it, you will have been an oinus. So being you will have been an oinus, so what's this? Just do bedikas chametz and you should be done with it. So the Gemara says like this, maybe the reason is, because when you do bedikas chametz, you're going to find the big things. But crumbs, there's no cheskas bedik on, right? It's very hard to say for sure you're going to find every little thing. But aloi chashivi, that doesn't matter because it's not chashuv. So what, it's not chashuv? It's kimavutl. It's as if it's in a state of bittul. It's hefker, it's kafir da'ara. Anyways, so if it's not chashuv, I have to be mevatel pirurim. Pirurim wake up in the morning, already bottle. So that shouldn't be an issue. So you'll tell me that maybe pirurim in a vacuum are not considered chashuv. But over here, the pirurim are inside your house. And every night you go to sleep, you lock the doors of your house, Rashi says. So maybe when you do that, you're giving a chashivus to the pirurim. So even though pirurim ordinarily is not really chashuv, then maybe in this context it is chashuv. So it's because of the pirurim. You missed the pirurim when you did the bedikah, and it's not in a state of batal. Why? Because at the end of the day, you're giving it chashivos, agav, everything else in your house. So maybe that's the issue. But the Gemara says, I'll prove to you that that svaru of giving it chashivos, agav, something else, is not an issue from a braisa. This braisa is a teisefta in mesechtes meiser. For Tanya, we learned to the braisa, sufei te'enim. If somebody has te'enim that are not ripe. Umeshamer sodeum ne anovim. But he was watching his field, not because of these te'enim. They weren't ripe, and Rashi says they're never going to be ripe. And because they're never going to be ripe, he doesn't really care about them. As far as he's concerned, they're not chashav. So why does he have a shomi? He's paying somebody an hourly rate to stand in front of his field to watch it. Oh, the reason is because he has anovim, and he's watching it because of the anovim. So anovim, or if he has anovim that have gone bad, and he's watching his field because of other fruits and vegetables that he has growing there. So here's the halacha. If the balabayis hears about these bad te'enim, or these bad anovim, asur mishum gazel, somebody takes them, he's a gazlan, and the owner would have to give meiser. If the balabais doesn't care about it, mutar mishum gazel, no wisser gazel, uptur mina meiser, and you don't have to worry about meiser. Now, what do you see from here? This person is watching the te'enim, he's watching the anovim that have gone bad. Why? Because he has other things in his field that are good. Afal pikein, the anovim and te'enim are only chashuv, both as it relates to Hilchas Gezela and as it relates to Hilchas Maestris, if he cares about it. But if he doesn't care about it, the mere fact that he's watching it, Bederech Agav, means nothing. It's neither here nor there. So as it relates to Chametz, that's the Mashal. What's the Nimshal? A person has Pirurim, they're not Chashav. What are you going to tell me? But he's watching it, Agav, the rest of his house. You see clearly, unless he has a proactive Machshava to say that I'm giving it Chashivas, which of course he's not going to have, then it wouldn't be considered Chashav. So again, the question is, why do you have to be Mevatel? If you miss something, it's an oinus. You have a chazaka that you probably got it right. So if something happens to show up, oinus rachmana patre, that shouldn't be a problem. Elamai, there are things we know for sure you missed. The pirurim. Who cares about the pirurim? You're watching it, agabese, we have a raya from a teisefta and ilchas maestras. That's not the way it is. Amar Ravas, the Ravas said gzeira. There's a gzeira. Shema yimtza gluska yaf. We're afraid that you might find something real. You're going to find a bagel. V'daita ilave. And when you see it, you're going to want it. It's going to tempt you for a second. And when you see it and want it for that moment, what you're doing is you're being machshavit, and at that moment you're going to be over the lava by your raw, by your matzah. Meaning, we assume you probably got it right. And it's for that reason we are arguing that if you would find something, you're nightness, you tried. And being that you tried, if something suddenly shows up, it was really out of your control. Oinus rachmana patri, that's fine. You're not chayiv, here's the punchline, it's a very subtle gemara. You're not chayiv for the moment that you found it. Because the moment that you found it, you were an oinus. I tried watching before, something showed up. So what do you want from me? Oinus rachmana patri. You know what the problem is? The second later. Because maybe when you see it, you're going to want it. And on that, you're not an oinus anymore. And it's for that reason you're going to be chayiv. So the gemara says, v'chi meshkachas le'levatle. Why don't we just trust the person that the second he sees it, in the event that he's going to want it, he'll immediately be mevatalit and just be mevatalit then. Why do you have to do the bittul before Pesach? Why can't you do the bittul on Pesach itself? Now, Tosfos asks the obvious question, if you're following the Cheshbon, and that is, for Tosfos, I don't understand. If you worry that for a second it's going to tempt you, so at that second you're already over by your raw, by your matzah, so what do you mean, be mevatalit? we're afraid that you're not going to want to be mevatel at that second. It's the second to last Tosfos on the Yomin, Ayin b'pnei Yeshua and the Achroinim. But either way, the Gemara says that no, because Dilma Meshkachas le'lebasar Yisur. We're worried that you may find it after the Chometz is already Yasser, meaning Mishay Shoyes u'lamaylo, v'lab reshus le'kaima. At that point, it's not in your reshus anymore. V'le'matz mevatel, and at that point, you can't be mevatel. And this next Gemara is another one of the most important lines in Masechtas Pesachim. The Amar Rabbi Laza said, Shnei Dvarim Eine Beshus Shal Adam, V'ason Akas L'Kid L'Beshus. There are two things that are not in a person's Rishos, but the Torah made it as if it's in the person's Rishos. I mean, there are two things that we can say generally the person doesn't own, but the Torah treat as if the person owns. Elohim, Bar Rishos Arabim. Somebody digs a bar in a Rishos Arabim. So the halach is if someone gets damaged in that bar, or if someone's animal gets damaged in that bar, that he's going to be chayef. Why? Because he's the Bal Habar, quote unquote. It's his bar. It's his bar. It's in the Rishos Arabim. You don't own the Rishos Arabim. The teretz is, the Torah treat it as if it's yours. So even though it's not really yours, Torah treat it as if it's yours. That's the first example. The second example is chametz mishei shayis olamayla. Chametz mishei shayis olamayla is really not in your Rishos. The reason it's not in your Rishos is because it's asr bahana. And there's a principle that Isuri Hana, you can't have ownership on. Right? If someone's Mekadesh and Isha with Arla, that's Asabana. She's not Mekudeshes. If you would have an Esrig, let's say that's Asabana, you couldn't be Mekayim the mitzvah of Dalad Minin. Why not? Because it says, Ulakachtam Lochem beyayim Rishon, it can't be Lochem. If something is Asabana, it can't be yours. Chomitz Mishay Shayzulamayla is Asabachila, it's not let it be in your house. It's also Asabana. And being that it's Asabahana, it creates an inherent paradox. How can you be over by your rab, by your matzeh? It's a very important insight. How can you be over by your rab, by your matzeh? You're only over by your rab, by your matzeh, if you have chametz. Not just that, it has to be yesterday's hard brayson, hey amit beis, your chametz, shal choy ataraya, aval ataraya shal acherim. By definition, it's not yours. Because once it's asabana, it can't be yours anymore. The teretz is, this is what Rabbi Elazar said, that even though chametz mishesh so lumayl is not really in your rishos, but asan akasav as if it's in your rishos. So what does that have to do with our sugya? If a person would want to be mevatel chametz that he finds on Pesach, he couldn't do it. You know why? Because it's not in your Rishos anymore on Pesach. Because once it's Pesach, or even Erev Pesach, Mishay Shayis Ulamayla, it's Asavano. If it's Asavano, it's not in my Rishos. How could I be Mevatel something that's not in my Rishos? Let's go according to Tosfos. Bittul works midin Hefker. You can't make something that's not yours Hefker. I can't sell something that's not mine. How could I be Mafker something that's not mine? So it would be impossible. So the only way I could do Bittul is if I do before Pesach. So the Gemara said, Habay Dich Tzarech Shevatel. Why? Because we're afraid you're going to see the Chametz. Afraid the Gemara. Okay, just when you find the Chametz, you'll be Mevatel. Yeah, but what if I find it on Pesach? And if I find it on Pesach, I won't be able to do Bittul. The reason is because it's not in mine anymore. What do you mean? If it's not yours, then how you over by your Rabbi, you might say, oh, for that we have a Chiddush HaTorah. Asan, Akasov, Giluhim, Bershus, like Bar Bershus, Arabim, Chametz, Mishay, Shayis, Ulamayla. But as it relates to being yours, that so you should be able to be Mevatel, that's not something you're able to do. So that, for Chazal said, when when do you do Bittul? Kol chamir v'chamir. When do we say it? At the time of the bedikah. So the Gemara says, why do you have to do it the night before? V'nevat le'barba, v'nevat le'b'chamish. Why can't you do it erev Pesach? Do it the fourth hour of the day, the fifth hour of the day. So the Gemara says, because kimi d'lav zman isuruhu, v'lav zman bi'uruhu, d'l mepash v'lei mevatle. That's like a time that's nishtahin nishtaher. It's not the time of iser achila. It's not the time of sreifa. It's not the time of anything. You do the bedikah at night. You do the isra achila happens at some point later in the morning, and then you have the zman of the sreifa. So when exactly do you want me to do Bittul? Let's just pick an arbitrary time. It's just not smart. Because Dilma Pasha V'loi Mevatale. Rashi. Last Rashi on the Yomid. Pasha Yishkach V'yobel Yidei Pshia. Shal Yidei Mayi Zocher. What's going to get you to remind you to do it? Aval Achshav. Now that we say do it. Or Larba Asar. Sha'asak V'bdikasa Yizocher. It's just a very practical time to do it. But Anacham, you can do it. Say, Yomar V'nevatel B'shis. Why don't you do it in the beginning of the sixth hour? We're going to see in the coming Dafin, the beginning of the sixth hour is when you do Sreifas Chametz. So just do it then. You're busy with something else there. So the Gemara says, Anachinami, but given the Asur Durabon and Ilave, being at the beginning of the sixth hour, even though Chametz is not Asur Midei Raisa, because when does Chametz become Asur Midei Raisa? When is it Asur Bano? Mishay Shoy Sulamilo. What does Shay Shoy Sulamilo mean? The end of the sixth hour. But Midurabonon, it's Asur an hour earlier. Machlik is from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, 1 hour earlier, 2 hours earlier, but it's already Asur in the beginning, Midurabonon, and it's for that case. So Midurabonon, it's not in Yerushos, Veloy Motzi Mevatel, and that's why you can't be Mevatel. So that's not a good time either. So how do you know that if something is Asur Bano, Midurabonon, you can't be Mevatel? Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav Rav Chiya bar Yosef Amar Rav Mekadesh Mishay Shoyes Ulamaylo. If someone's Mekadesh Anisha Mishay Shoyes Ulamaylo, Rashi says this Mishay Shoyes Ulamaylo doesn't mean what it meant on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. This Mishay Shoyes Ulamaylo means the beginning of the sixth hour. Right? Usually Mishay Shoyes Ulamaylo means the end of the sixth hour. This means the beginning of the sixth hour. So the Halachas, if someone's Mekadesh Anisha Mishay Shoyes Ulamaylo, Afilu Bechitei Kur Denisa, even with the Chitim of Kur Denisa, Rashi says very hard for them to become Chametz. But it doesn't matter. In Chayshish and the Kedushin, there's no Kedushin. Why not? Because it's Yisurei Anah. You can't be Mekadesh Anisha with Yisurei Anah. You don't own it. It's ownerless. If it's ownerless, you can't be Mekadesh Anisha. So you see Ulabasi Yisura. So you see that it's not yours. So if it's not yours, even if it's only not yours, Midurabanan, so you're out. And for that reason, Chazal said, Haboy Diksar Shiyavatel, and when should you be Mevatel? Just do it at a time that you're anyways doing another mitzvah. When are you going to do it? To do it at the time that you're... that there's an Issa Sreifa, it's Asim Bahana already Midrabanan. So Midrabanan, it's not yours, you can't be Mavatl. So the practical time that it makes sense to do it is at the time that you're doing the Badika. It's not Asim Bahana, as an ability, it's yours, you're able to be Mavatl. That's the right time to do it. It's really must be Mavatl. Is that true? You can't be Mavatl Chametz once this man and Isser comes, but Tanya will learn to the price. Oh, you're HM based Medrash. Someone was sitting in base Medrash. Viniska Shech Chametz, but Eich Besa, and he remembers, oops, I have Chametz in my house. Mavatl Beliboy. You can be Mavatl it in your lathe. By the way, there's a discussion in the Rishonim here. Is this a riot that Bittel can be believed, or does Bittel have to be bepeh? Echad Shabbos, Echad Yontif. The Brisa concludes and said, this is true for Shabbos, it's true for Yontif. Zok de Gemara. Bishleim is Shabbos, Bishleim is Shabbos, Mishkach Zokin Shechal Arbos Aliyah is Beshabbos. I understand. Erev Pesach was Shabbos. And the halacha is that if you're in Beis Medrash, you remember that you have Chametz in your house, be Mevatel at Beliboy on Shabbos. It's Erev Pesach. It's before Sheisha Yisulamayla. It's even before Tchilas Sheisha Yisulamayla. It's not Asa Bahana. That's why you're able to be Mevatel. Elo Yontif. Which Yontif are we talking about? Obviously Pesach. So Basa Yisuruhu. It's already after this Mano Yisr. So how you be Mevatel? It's before Shabrai. So you could be Mevatel Beliba after this Mano Yisr. So we're telling you a whole Shnikal Torah. The Chometz is Asa Bahana. It's not really yours. Asan Akasev. It's a Chiddush by Bali Rabbi. You must be. You have no ability to be Mevatel. Abba Mufur Shabrai. Amr Vachar by Yaakov. Hacha. This story was a little different. But Talmud Yosef Nei Rabbi Yoskin. We're talking about a Talmud who was sitting in front of his Rebbe. V'niska sheyesh isam megulgelas b'teich peisach. He remembered that he has dough in his house and it's rising. U'misyare, and he got a little afraid. Shema tachmetz kadim. Maybe it's going to quickly rise and it's going to turn into chametz. So the halach is kadim mevatle mekamet de tachmetz. What we're saying is you should go ahead and you should be mevatle before it becomes chametz. Why does it have to be a Talmud that's yoyesh lefnei rabbi? Because otherwise you can just go home and deal with it. But because it's a Talmud Yosef Lei Rabbi, so that's why you can't just leave, and that's why you have an issue. But the point is, it's Yontif, it's Shabbos, it's Mishay Shai Sulamayla, it's at the time that Chametz is really Asabana, but at the same time you can be Mevatel because it's not Chametz yet. That's the punchline. If it was Chametz already, you can't be Mevatel because Asabana. But we're talking about, that's the Ikimta where it wasn't Chametz yet. It's in the price book, it's coming Chametz really, really quickly, but it's not. And being that it's not chametz yet, that's why it's possible. The Ikanami, the Gemara says, the whole brisa actually is mashma that way. Meaning sometimes you make an ikimta in a brisa or a mishnah and it seems a little forced. But sometimes, no, the Ikanami, if you think about it now, with a different cook, it actually makes sense that this is what's going on. Because read the brisa. Why did the brisa say this person was a base medrash? You're sitting in your house. The teretz is because if you were home, you would have been able to deal with it. It's only because you're in base medrash that you can't deal with it. Now, if it's chametz already, and you're home, and it's Shabbos and Yontif, how else are you going to deal with it? You can't pick it up, it's muktzah. So you can end up being mevatel it anyways. Elamai must be it wasn't chametz, and therefore it wasn't muktzah. And had you been home, you could have dealt with it. It's only because you're yoyish of this medrash that you can't deal with it. That's the raya that we're talking about, where it's something that you didn't have the ability, that actually wasn't chametz yet. Before we go weiter, just to pause again for a moment, I want to hear. So again, the Gemara mentioned the epic line, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Shnei Dvarim Einam Bershusa Shalom. There are two things that are not in the reshus of a person, Vasan Akasov Gilahim Bershusa. But the Torah was Mechadish Bailus. The Torah created ownership. I don't own it, but we can attribute the ownership to as if it's yours. Ve'eluhein, bar b'rishos ha-rabim, v'chametz mishay shayi sulamayim. If somebody digs a bar in a rishos ha-rabim and someone's animal falls into the bar, talach is the bala bar is chayiv. The bala bar suggests that it's my thing, and my thing was mazik you as a result. You're going to be chayiv. Just like my shor, if it damages you, I'm chayiv. So if my bar damages you, I'm going to be chayiv as well. I'm the bala bar. How am I the bala bar? it's not mine. It's a Rishos HaRab. The Torah refers to the Baal HaBar as the Baal HaBar. It's a chiddush in Bailus, even though it's not really the Baal HaBar's, but asan akas of kilehem b'shusai. More importantly, as it relates to the sugyas we're learning, is chametz mishei shoyis l'mayla. The Torah says that if you have chametz that belongs to you in your house, mishei shoyis l'mayla, you over by yura, you over by yumatzeh, you mevatel a mitzvah of tashbisu, said Rabbi Lazar, if you think about it, it really doesn't make sense. Because chametz mishei shoyis l'mayla is really aser b'hana. So if it's aser b'hana, then it's not yours. Because we have a principle that a person doesn't own his Yisurei Ana. In Halacha, we don't view him as an owner. So if you don't view him as an owner, it's not your chametz. I'm allowed to have somebody else's chametz in my house. That's what you're relying on when you sell your chametz. So if you're allowed to have somebody else's chametz in your house, and once the chametz is asa b'ana, it's not yours. And chametz b'shei shayis ulamayla is asa not only b'achila and Shehiya, but it's also Aser Bahana, then how you have Oiver by Rabbi Masl? Teretz is, I'm Rabbi Lazar. It's the other of the two things that are Enam B'Shusai Shaladam Vasan Akas of Kilohim B'Shusai. Now, in the world of Lamdis, in the world of Shuvis from Gedoyli Achroinim, this is an idea that's very important. It plays a very prominent role. Because the whole Bayura Bayumatse is really predicated on a Mechudish Digabailis. When you're over by Rabbi Matz, because you have chametz in your rishus, really it's a mechudesh nigger bailus. Because really you don't own it. It's asan akasu. And the Gedolei Achreinim, throughout the ages, use this as a way in Lamdis to maybe explain different halachas in the world of chametz mishei shayis ulamayil. It's a fascinating concept. But just one ha'ara, and that is, when you learn Bava Kama, there's a famous shayla that's said over in yeshiva from Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin. Shuvalei wanted to know, what would be if somebody digs a bar b'shus harabim, and then he dies? He leaves over children. He leaves over yarshim. And then somebody or somebody's animal falls in the bar and gets damaged. Are the children over for bar b'shus harabim? Are they chayiv now? Do they have to pay niske mamin or not? What was the shayla? The shayla was, being that the Chazal said, Shnei dvarim ein b'shusay shalad v'asan akas of kilein b'shusay, that the gedder of the mazik of bar is that the person who dug the bar owns it. So if he owns it, he died. All his nechasim went over b'yerusha to his children. So the children yarsh in the bar. If they yarsh in the bar, so now that somebody got damaged in the bar, the children are going to be chayef in this gay bar. That was a b'shu b'leib shayla. Or did he say maybe the asan akas of kilein b'shusay was limited to the balabar alein? It's a mechudesh digabailus. You yourself, you dug the bar. So you are going to be responsible for any damages that happen in the bar. But the yarshim, this type of bailus doesn't go over b'Yerusha. Ownership goes over b'Yerusha. But maybe this type of ownership is not something that's going to go over b'Yerusha. This was Rabbi Yeshua Leib Shaila. But the truth is that what the Velt says over Mipi Hashmur from Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin is a mefurish in Noida b'Yehuda. It's in Shailas Tshuvas, Noida b'Yehuda, Madura Kama, it's a Rechaim Simin Chav. The Noida b'Yehuda wasn't discussing Bar B'Shus HaRabim, but he was discussing our sugya. He was discussing Chametz Mishei Shoyis Ulamayla. Sheva. Somebody asked the Rebbe the following question. Echad Meis Erev Pesach Ach Chatzoy. Somebody died Erev Pesach Ach Chatzoy. V'loi Mach Achem Tzoy. Koyne Moisay. And he didn't sell the Chametz before he died. V'gam Loi Bitel. He wasn't Mevatalit. V'nishar B'izvoyne Chametz B'sach Rav. He left over a lot of Chametz. V'shol HaShoyol. Ma Dino Yishol Chametz Zeh. What's the halacha with the Chametz? Imutal chiyuv al hayorshim levatal achametz mina olam kidei shela yavra bayura achas emes mayrishon vehim yorshin achametz hazeh olay. The question was, do the yorshim have an obligation to get rid of the chametz, or do they not have an obligation to get rid of the chametz? What was the shayla? They just yarshin their father, so they yarshin all this chametz, and now they have all this chametz. So based on that, you would argue that maybe they have an obligation to go get rid of the chametz. But said the noy to be Yehuda. And this is his psak, this was his achra, tshuva, v'nei ha-shela rishoni hi-pshut, of ain't tzarech lefonim kla. That being that really, chametz mishay shoyis ulamayla is asa b'ana, so really the person didn't own it. Narvaz, Amar Rav Elazar, shnei dvarim einu b'shusay shaladim, v'asan ha-kasav gilohem b'shusay, bar b'shusay rabim, v'chametz mishay shoyis ulamayla. So it's a chiddush ha-toyra that the chametz mishay shoyis ulamayla belongs to the father.
The Torah was mechadish bailus only with regards to the lava bal yirah bal yimotze. But with regards to anything else, there's no bailus. So there's no bailus in Ilchas Yerusha. It's not his. It can't be Meir something that you don't know. So as a result, the Yerushim never got it. They never got it. They're not going to be over bal yirah bal yimotze. For them, it's shalcha yataray, avataray shalachem. They have no reason. There's no reason for them to have to dispose of the chametz. The bailus was said dafka for this point. It was said for bal yirah bal yimotze. And that's negay of the father's bal yirah bal yimotze. So for his bal yirah bal yimotze, there's a chiddush haTorah, but he doesn't own it to give it over by Yerusha. If he doesn't own it to give it over by Yerusha, the children can't be over by Yerusha. This is Mamash Rav Yishuv Leib Shaila. Yishuv Leib asked it by a bar. The Rav Yudah discussed it by Chometz Mishesh Haisul Amayla. The Rav Yudah was Machriya, Kedarke Bakoidesh. He paskin the Shaila. He said, by the way, Ein Tzarech Lefanim. He said it was Pasha to him, that sad. But either way, the Bailus was only said with regards to the Balabar being Chayiv. The Bailus was only said with regards to the Balachometz being Oiver for chametz mishay shoyis on the mile by Yerub by Yematzah, but as it relates to giving it over by Yerusha, it's good old fashioned Yisuri Hana. As it relates to Yisuri Hana, you can't be meirish something to your children in a rishos harabim, and it's for that reason the children don't yarshin the bar, and the children will not yarshin the chametz mishay shoyis on the mile. Zok tigmar. Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna. Amar Rab. Rabba Rav Huna said the name of Rab. Hapas sheifsha. Somebody has bread that's spoiled. Kivan sherovsa matzah muteres. If it was ravsa matzah, which the Gemara initially is going to think, if there's more matzah than chametz, muteres halach is it's going to be okay. So Rav was the one who taught us on Daf Gimel on the days, v'olam yishna adam l'talmidei b'derech kitzara. And in this Gemara, Rav was a na dairish, v'na mekayim. Rav did exactly what he said you're supposed to do. He spoke in a riddle. He spoke very, very much b'derech kitzara. He said the following remark: Hapas she'ifshe, you have bread that's spoiled, it's gone bad, it's like moldy. Kiven she'rofsa matzah, if there's more matzah, muteres. And the Gemara is going to try to understand what exactly Rav meant. Heichidom ilim et yad about the chametz. Are we talking about you have pas bread? You know it's bread. You know it's chametz. It's just spoiled. And Rav is saying, but if it's in a box and ravsa matzah, there's more matzah. So the halach is, the matzah is like mevatel the chametz, I guess. And as a result, you'll be able to eat the chametz. Says the Gemara, can't be. Ki ravsa matzah may have you. There's such a halacha. If you have chametz, you have a sandwich, you put it in your box of shmura matzahs. So now that's fine. Bittel b'ray. If you see the chametz, of course there's no bittel. So that can't be. Elo, d'loya bina ba'i chametz u'i matzah. Must be. We're talking about a stretch where you don't know. Meaning it got so moldy, it got so spoiled, you have no idea if you're looking at chametz or if you're looking at matzah. So he says, if that's the case, might you kirov some matzah? Why didn't you write matzah? I feel like you later of some matzah nami neza basa basra. Why don't we go basa basra? So this next Gemara is Gishmak. Usually, if you have a suffix, so there's different rules that you can, and tools you can use in order to be machriya suffix. One of them is rife. So it makes sense. I have a bai, I know there's chametz, maybe matzah, rife matzah, if I have a legitimate suffix, and I have no other way to be machriya the suffix, so there's something called rife, something called bittel b'rife, I'm allowed to work with bittel b'rife. But the Gemara says, as much as it's true there's something called bittel b'rife, there's also something called nasal basa basra. And in this case, the Gemara's question is, I think nasal basa basra is the rule that we should be applying, not the rule of rife. So what's the salach of nasal basa basra? The literal translation is, let's assume that it was the last thing that this was used for. So we'll see inside. Miloy Tanan, didn't we learn in a Mishnah, Mesech Tishkolim, Moish, in Imtzlufnei Seichr Behema, if somebody finds money in front of the Seichr Behema. So this was in Yerushalayim, and in front of the Seichr Behema, the people that deal in cattle, they sell animals. So they found money, there were some shekels on the floor. The Oiva Maiser, we assume it's Maiser. And the reason is, most animals in Yerushalayim, this is an interesting historical anecdote, were bought with Maisa Sheni money. Right? We fail to realize sometimes how important Maisa Sheni was. Maisa Sheni had to be eaten in Yerushalayim. It was very tedious to eat Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim. So what the Yidden used to do is they would redeem their Maisa Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. They would transfer the money to the payers to money. And then when they went to Yerushalayim, they would use the money to buy things. Now, what could you buy with Maisa Sheni? It's a Mishnah. Beginning of the third paragraph of Masechtas Erevin. But ideally, you're supposed to buy animals, specifically karbanas. So it turned out, after all this, most animals were bought with Maisa Sheni money. So if you see a few dollars lying on the ground, there's a $100 bill next to a soicher of behemoth, you could assume it's Maisa, you have to assume, it's a chumrah, that it's Maisa Sheni money. Barabayas, what if you find money in the Harabayas? Chulin, we assume it's Chulin. Yerushalayim, what if you find money in Yerushalayim? Beshas HaRegel, if you find it during Yontif, Maisa, you assume it's Maisa money. Because that's when most of the Maisa money made its way into Yerushalayim. When the Yidim were Oyler Regel, that's when they used to bring their money. Beshayim Maisa HaShana, however, the rest of the year, we assume it's going to be Chulin. Now, if you notice, in the Mishnah, there's a difference between finding money in the Harabayas or finding money somewhere else in Yerushalayim. But Harabayas, what the
Mishnah say chulin. You always assume it's chulin. In Yerushalayim, it depends. B'shas haregel, you assume it's ma'isa money. B'shayim ma'isa shana, you assume it's chulin money. And again, just to be clear, the reason b'shas haregel, you assume it's ma'isa money, because there's so many Jews that were oiler regel, they're bringing their ma'isa sheni money, right? The money they have in their pockets, ma'isa sheni money. So there's so many yidden, right? The yidden in Yerushalayim are from outside Yerushalayim. Their money is ma'isa sheni money. So there's like a roiv that tells you it's ma'isa sheni money. B'shayim ma'isa shana, most of the chevra are not people from outside Yerushalayim. It's all the Yerushalayim Yidden. Why should you assume the money? It's Ma'aseh Sheni, unless it's in front of a Soicha Behemah. Because people used to use Ma'aseh Sheni money to buy behemoths. But this is true in Yerushalayim. In the Har HaBayis, it's always Chulin. What does always mean? Even B'Shas HaRegel. Even during Yontif, we have all the Yidden being over regel and they're walking around Ma'aseh Sheni money. Still, the halach is that you're going to assume it's Chulin. So the question is why? Vamar Rav Shmaya Bar Zeira, my time, what's the reason? What's the difference between the Har HaBayis and Yerushalayim? In Yerushalayim, B'Shas HaRegel, we assume it's Ma'aseh. And in the Har HaBayis, even B'Shas HaRegel, we assume that it's Chulin. So he said, Hoyo V'Shuke Yerushalayim Asuyin L'Hischabed B'Chol Yoyim. The reason is because the streets in Yerushalayim, they used to always clean. And being that they used to always clean it, so if I find money now, I should assume that this money was recently dropped. So if you find it on Yontif, it probably fell out of someone's pocket on Yontif. Fell out of somebody's pocket on Yontif. Yontif, most people are the Oyvei Regel. They have Ma'aseh Sheni money. So that's what you're going to assume it is. As opposed to the Har HaBayis, they didn't clean the Har HaBayis. Actually, they didn't have to clean the Har HaBayis. Now, Har HaBayis never got too dirty. We weren't allowed to walk in the Har HaBayis with shoes. Also, it was on a hill. So because it was on a hill, the dirt would fly off. But it wasn't necessary to clean it. And being that it wasn't so necessary to clean it, so you don't have that Sfar. But either way, you have a Sfar in Yerushalayim. Therefore, if you find the B'Shas HaRegel, you're going to assume it's Ma'aseh. In the Har HaBayis, you don't have that Sfara. So in the Har HaBayis, you find it could be the punk. You found some money. Maybe it's been sitting there for 6 months. And as a result, you don't go busser the most recent time, but rather you look at the bigger picture, you look at it more globally. It's probably chulin. It's probably not from one of the Oilei Regel. What do you see from here? Alma, Amrinon, Kamoy, Kamoy, Azlile, Vahani Achrini Ninu. If somebody finds money in the street, in Yerushalayim, in B'Shas HaRegel, you assume it's recent. You don't think it's here from a little while ago. You assume it's recent, right? So you don't say, most money in Yerushalayim during the year is chulin money, thus it's chulin. No. The most recent situation was B'Shas HaRegel, where people have disproportionate amount of Ma'aseh Sheni money. And as a result, you assume it's Ma'aseh Sheni money. So if it's a question of going Basar Rav or going Basar Basra, assuming whatever has been going on recently, that's what it is. What do you see you do? You see you go bust to the Basra. The Basra, the people that used this most recently were the Oilei Regel. So their money was Ma'aseh Sheni money. As a result, we assume it's Ma'aseh Sheni money. We don't look at the bigger picture, most of the money in the street, because it's a Svara. So the Svara is that we're probably going boss of the Basra. So what's the question? It's a long-winded question. But what's the question? As it relates to your box, you have pas she'ifsha, and you don't really know what this pas is. You just can't tell. It's spoiled. It's moldy. You're not sure if it's chametz. You're not sure if it's matzah. What do we say? Even she'rovsa matzah. If roiv was matzah, then it's going to be matzah. Now, what does it sound like? If it wasn't roiv, then you would assume it's chametz. The kasha is, shouldn't we assume that the basra, this Pesach, right? So shouldn't we assume that the basra was matzah? Or if you have your box that you keep for your bread basket. So during the year, it's bread. Most times, you can have bread inside. But there's 1 week where it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to have chametz. Where it says, you have to eat matzah. So the basra, you should assume, is the matzah. So if that's the case, name a kama azel, that you probably cleaned this box just like the streets of Yerushalayim were clean. And if that's the case, even though right of the money that's used in the streets of Yerushalayim, that's neither here nor there. It's even though right of the times you use this box, this bread basket, it's for chametz, but we don't care about that. And what you found is from now. Just like the money that you found is probably from the Oilei Regel, because it's Yontif, so too what you found over here was matzah. So why is it that only if it's roiv matzah do we go basar roiv? What do we need roiv for? We should work with basra, that's the kasha. Shani hacha, the Gemara says, here it was different. Because here it was spoiled. I mean that it was spoiled, the spoiledness is throwing us for a loop. It looks like it's old. It's like it's been here for a while. Why would my matzah be spoiled? Like you rub some matzah, my habit. Then
Checkmate. So who cares if it's Rav Matzah? If you're telling me that you have a simen muvik that this is chametz, so who cares if it's Rav Matzah? My Rabbi Loi Temesh Rav Sam Matzah. You're right. You have to change what Rav said. Again, this is Rav. Rav spoke b'derech kitzara. This is what it was like probably to hear shir from Rav. Ele'ema sherabu yemei matzah ilaveh. What it means is that many of the matzah days have already passed. It's not the first day of Pesach. It's like the fifth day of Pesach or the sixth day of Pesach. So being that it's already a few days into Pesach, it's possible that this moldy bread that you have is really matzah, because it's a few days in, maybe the matzah, then again, we're back to square one. So if it's already the fifth day of Pesach, and it's reasonable to assume that this is really moldy matzah, then we should go basa basra. Why are we going basa roiv? Go basa basra. It was very moldy. The very moldiness is throwing us for a loop. I would have thought that it's very moldy. We're assuming that for sure it's chametz. Kamash malon, there's a svara to say faker. Being that it's already several days into Pesach, so it's possible that it came from the matzah alone. It could be every day you bake fresh matzahs, and every day you put the matzahs on top of the other matzahs, and that's what caused this excessive moldiness. But the bottom line is, it's for that reason we are going to go basar raiv. Zokta gemar. Mi azlina basar basra. Is there even an idea of azlina? We just mentioned the concept of going basar basra. Tangri lo into the brayser. It's Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Teva shenesh amish b'moyis chula moyis maiser. Somebody has a box and he's used it for chula money and he's used it for maiser sheni money. Im raiv chulin. If most of the money he uses it for is chulin. Im raiv maiser, maiser. Most of the money he uses it for maiser, go basar maiser. So what do you see? When you have a teva, you find money and you just don't, you can't remember. Is this maiser money or is this chula money? So what do? Raiv. Why go basar raiv? I thought we just said that better than raiv is called basra. That my laser basar basra. Why is the question you're asking yourself a question of raiv? Isn't the question that you're asking yourself, or shouldn't it be a question of basra? Talking about we used it for both at the same time. Then your day is a member saif. Meaning you don't know that's part of your shot. You don't know what the basra is. If you knew what if you knew what the basra is, you would go basa basra. But we're talking about where you didn't know what the basra was. Again, Amar of Nachum Ayis, the first teretz of the Gemara is where you use them separately, not the same time. You use them separately. One was first, one was second, but you don't know which was second. And being that you don't know what the basra was, of course, Roiv is for sure the number two. Rav Zvida, Makagan, Shedeshtam Shabbat, Tziburim, Tziburim. It's talking about where you use them together. Use them together, there is no basra. Rav Papa, Makagan, Deshakach, Baguma. You found it like in a crevice. You found it inside a ditch. So what's the svara of basra? You clean it out, you would have noticed it. Being that it was in a guma, so it's very possible you wouldn't have noticed it. And being that it's possible that you wouldn't have noticed it, so it's for that reason there is no svar of going basa basra. So again, these dafin in the beginning of Masechtas Pesachim are loaded. But the takeaway of this part of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph is a new concept, something that you don't find very often, and that is that when you have a suffix, we know you can go basa chazaka, we know there's an idea of going basa raiv, there's a concept of kariv, but there's also an idea of basra, that if you have something, you use it sometimes for chulin, sometimes for maaser sheni. You have a bread basket, I use it for chametz, I use it for matzah. And now I found something here. I don't know if this bread is chametz or matzah. It's Pesach, I have to know. I don't know if the money is maaser sheni money or if it's chulin money. I have to know. There's certain halachas that govern what you're allowed to do with maaser sheni money. So there's an idea of roiv, and roiv is something that you can have at your disposal if you need it. So if most of the bread in the bread basket is bread, then and chametz, you would assume it's probably chametz. If most of the money that you use in this teva is chulam money, yeah, then you can assume chulam. But before you ask yourself, Rav, there's a different box you have to check off. What was it used for most recently? If this is a box that's cleaned, and it's you see it from time to time, and I used it most recently for chulin, that would mean chulin. If I used it most recently for maaser, it would be maaser. If I have a bread basket that it's Pesach, and I know I cleaned it before Pesach. By the way, how do we know you cleaned it before Pesach? Or Labasa, why can't ask a chametz, Rashi says. So for you sure, we assume you cleaned it. So that's the case. Now all of a sudden you found Pasha Ifsha. As long as it's five or so days into Yontif, yeah, you will assume that this is probably matzah. Either way, the chiddush of going basa basra and how it tied in to Rav's cryptic statement. Hapas she'ifsha, kivin she'rofsa, matzah mu teres. The next Gemara is a classic. We're going to go through it quickly. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Habaydik tzarech she'yavarech. Before a person does the mitzvah, because chametz, he has to make a bracha. I mevarech. What's the bracha? Rapapi, Amar Rapapi said, Mishmei de Rava, levar chametz. Baruch ato Hashem, alikeinu melech ha'olam, Hashekid yisharu, b'mitzvayse v'tzivanu, levar chametz. To do bedikas chametz. Rav Papa, Amar, So it's Rav Papi and Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, Mishmei de Rav, also in the name of Rav, Al Bir Chametz. Baruch Atah Hashem, Alkein, Malchein, Mashiach, Yidushan, Rav, Mitzvayis, Vitzivanu, Al Bir Chametz. So according to Rav Papi, it was Levair Chametz. According to Rav Papa, it was Al Bir Chametz. So Chetik Gemar. Bil Levair Kulam, Alei Pligi Devadei Lahaba Mashma. Everybody agrees you can use the word Levair. And the reason is, because Levair is suggesting something that's going to happen in the future. It's describing the future tense. Now, just to back up for a minute, and this is really something the Gemara is going to discuss at the end of the daf, the part of the daf that we're not going to get to. And that is, when you make a bracha, you always make the bracha on a mitzvah before you do the mitzvah. Oyver la'asiyasam, which means before you do the mitzvah. You can't make a berachas ha-mitzvahs after the mitzvah. You always make a berachas ha-mitzvahs before the mitzvah. So based on that, if I'm going to grammatically structure my bracha in a way that will suggest that I'm acknowledging the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvahs, Ashekedi Shanu, Vitzivanu, to do a mitzvah, that makes sense. Because I'm making the bracha before I did the mitzvah, so I'm talking in the future, I'm about to do a mitzvah, Ashekedi Shanu, Mitzvahis, Vitzivanu. So Zokti Gemara, the word Levair suggests something I'm going to do in the future. So everybody agrees it's a goodness. Why shouldn't it be a goodness? It mentions beer chametz. That's what you're doing. You're doing bedika. And it's Levair, which suggests that I'm going to do it, not I did it, which is the truth, because I'm making the bracha before I did the mitzvah. So keep leaking. What was the machlis mirap papi mirap papa? Baal beer. In the event that the nusach of the bracha that I use is not Levair, but it's al beer. Mar sovar meikara mashma. Rav Papa said that albir is also good. Because albir, just in grammar, in diktuk, means something. Rav Papi said, make albir sounds like something I did already. So it sounds like something I did already. So how could that be the bracha? How can I say albir? You got the high level points right, but you tripped up on the diktuk. Because albir sounds like I did it already. So you have to say levar. Umar sava, Rav Papa says laba mashma. Albir also could mean something that I'm going to do. And as a result, of course you could say levar. The question is, could you also say albir? So again, Rav Papa says it has to be levar. Rav Papa said other levar, other albir. What's a tolian? It boils down to dikto. It boils down to grammar. You have to make sure the nusach habracha suggests something that I'm going to be doing in the future. Meisav efreik the Gemara. Baruch atah Hashem alikenim alchaylot. Hashem kedushanu v'nsayis v'tzivanu ala milo. That's the bracha you break on biris milo. So what do you see from there? That you're making the bracha ala milo. Not lomul. It's before the biris milo. So isn't that a raya to Rav Papa who said that al biur could mean lehava? I mean, Rav Papi says, how can you say albir? Albir sounds like you did it right. You didn't do it right. What do you mean, mila? Rav Papi, how do you make a bracha when you do bris mila? So, isn't the way you do it? Ala mila. So it's a ride to Rav Papi. You see, ala mila is good. Hasam zokti gemar heichanem. No, the reason we do it that way is because there's no other way to do it. Name a lamul. Should you say lamul? Leisagi de laviu mal. The reason you can't is because lamul, even though it means future tense, but there's also another connotation. It sounds like I have to do it. Ashekin the Shalom said, lamul, you told me I need to do this. Ala mila is more like conceptual. There's an Indian of mila. Lamul, you told me to do it. Who usually does the bris mila? A mayil. So the mayil doesn't have the obligation. Someone's paying him. And as a result, he doesn't himself have to do it. So the word lamul would be inappropriate. Not because of the future versus the past tense. There's another issue here. There's an issue he can't say. Well, Rav Papi said, I understand. I don't love it because alamila suggests something that happened that didn't really happen. But at the end of the day, you can't make a bracha lamul because that sounds like you have an obligation to do it. You don't have an obligation to do it. You have to talk about the concept of mila because he doesn't really. Someone, Aviyah ben Mayikla Meimer. What about the father of the son? Should he say lamul, Rav Papi? And Ochinami, yeah. Rav Papi said, yeah. He should. Different nusach habrach if the father does the bris mila or if the moil. According to Rav Papa, you could always do al mila. But according to Rav Papi, that al hamila really is not good because it's mashman happened already. The only reason he's doing it because there's no obligation. Davia ben has an obligation. He could do mace another kasha. Baruch Hashem, get the shalom and say, if it's on, Allah shchita. What about shchita? Shchita schulin. You make a brach. Big discussion in the Rishonim. Why you make a brach on shchita schulin? But why do you make a bracha on shchita schulin? But the bottom line is you do. And the bracha is ala shchita, even though first you make the bracha and then you do the shchita. The Gemara says, there too, what should you do? Name l'shchait. Should you say l'shchait? That sounds like you have an obligation to shecht this animal. You have an obligation to shecht it. Now, truth is, if you want to eat, you have to, but you don't have to do it. Someone else could do it. There's no mitzvah incumbent upon the karkafta, the gavra, to do shchita schulin. So therefore, said Rav Papi, I don't have a choice. I don't love the word, but it is what it is. Pesach v'kachim, what about Pesach and kachim? Pesach and Kachim, that's already Kachim. That sounds like there is an obligation. To Shech the Karban Pesach is one of the mitzvahs. Mitzvah Shechitas Karban Pesach is one of the mitzvahs of the Chinuch. Kachim, and Achinami. No, Rapapi will tell you, yeah, different bracha. You want to know what the bracha is when it comes to Pesach and Kachim? Lishchait. Not al hashchita, but rather lishchait. Meisave, another kasha. Oysa lulav la'atzma. If somebody makes a lulav, mevorech shachayonu viki, manu viki, yonu lasman hazeh. A conversation for another day. But when you make, you fashion a lulav, you make a shachayonu. Not loy, latzeis boy. When you pick up the lulav to be yoitza, oymar shekid yisharabim tzayisav itzivanu, al nitilas lulav. Al nitilas lulav, litoy las alulav. Al nitilas lulav, bishlam according to Rapapa, al could also mean future tense. But according to Rapapi, what's going on? Shani hasan, the be'idna da'agbe, nafikbe. No, lulav is different. You know what lulav is different? Every bracha, you make the bracha before the mitzvah. Lulav is the opposite. Because the second you pick up the lulav, you're ready with Makayim the mitzvah. So you're actually always making the bracha after you were yoytze the mitzvah. And being that you're making it after yoytze the mitzvah, so it actually makes sense to say al natilas lulav said Rapapi. Here it works out beautifully. Ihachi, lotzeis boy, yotza boy mi boyle. Just the wording of the braisa. What the braisa say? Oysa lulav la'atzmoy shachiyonu. Not la lotzeis, but if you pick it up to be yoytze, when you pick it up to be yoytze, when you pick it up, you were yoytze already. Mar says, enochinami, mishum de kabay le misni seifa leishev basuka, really, it would have been a little more accurate in the Lashon and would have said, not you picked it up to be Yaitza, but rather, when you picked it up, you were Yaitza. But being that we're about to say Halacha regarding Sukkot in the same Braisa, and over there, the right Lashon would be Latzis Bay. So here too, we use the Lashon Latzis Bay, even though it's not perfect. Because really, why Lulav, the minute you pick it up, you were Yaitza, and the Bracha you're actually making after you were Yaitza. What's the Sefer about Sukkah? The Ketani Sefer. Oysa Sukkah La'atzmai. If someone makes a Sukkah for himself, Oymer, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shachiyonu V'kimonu V'giyonu L'zman Hazeh. Nichnas Leishev Ba. If you're sitting down to sit in the Sukkah, Oymer, Baruch Hashechid Yishonu B'mitzvayitzi V'tzivanu Leishev Ba Sukkah. And over there, it's Leishev Ba. Because of course, you make the bracha on the sukkah before you sit in the sukkah. Lulav, you pick it up, you're yaitza, so inevitably you're making the bracha afterwards. But by sukkah, you're not. And being that by sukkah, it's leisheba, so by lulav, we said liteba, even though really, if you thought about it, by lulav, it's not liteba, it's not latzeisba, but it's already yatza. Bottom line is vehilchasa. So what's the halacha? You would think that if there's a machlokes whether al bir works, and everybody agrees livair works, the halacha should be livair. Gemara says, no, al bir chametz, that's the halacha. And all the Rishonim discuss why the halacha is al bir chametz. Just to end, the first week of Masechtas Pesachim with one machshava, and that is, we mentioned in today's daf the idea of eim muktem u'me'ucher b'Torah. It's a fascinating idea. We spoke very briefly during the daf, the machloikis between the Ramban and Ibn Ezra in Parshas Korach in terms of the scope, in terms of the ability to imply this rule of eim muktim u'me'ucher b'Torah. I'll tell you something fascinating. The Chafetz Chaim, in his Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, this is in Shara Torah, Perek Aleph. So after the Chafetz Chaim talked all about how terrible it is if a person speaks Lashon Hara and how careful you have to be to make sure that something bad doesn't come out of your mouth, so the Chafetz Chaim then has a whole Shara Torah. He says that lo'umazeh, a person should try to use his mouth for things of Kedusha, and a person should use his mouth for Torah. So the Chafetz Chaim goes on and gives a shmooze, which is, it's mamish kedai to see for chizik, about the importance of learning Torah, and how important the mitzvah of Torah is. So listen to one excerpt. Ki be'emes ein keitz l'kedushas ha-Torah. We don't realize how holy Torah is. K'maycha amru chazal. I'm skipping. Yalkit Tehillim, Amar Rabbi Lazar, like nitnu parshias haTorah ala seder. The parshias haTorah was not given ala seder, meaning ein muktem u'me'ucher b'Torah. You know why? Shul mali nitnu ala seder. This is mind blowing. Because had the Torah been given ala seder, kol mishnah yekayr behen, any person that would learn the Torah, hayoyachal lahachis mason, he'd be able to be mechayim mason. V'lasa is moifsim. And he'd be able to make moifsim. Lokach nisalim mehem sidron shel haTorah. That's why the Seder of the Torah had to be tzimisht, because otherwise, if you knew the Seder, you could sit down and learn Torah k'Seder, you'd own the world. You'd be able to be mechayim mesim, you'd be able to make moifsim. V'hu galu lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenema mikamayni yikra. Unbelievable. So you want to know why Eimuk the Mukhab HaTorah, like Nitnu Parashiyas HaTorah Ala Seder, Shul Moli Nitnu Ala Seder, Kol Misha Yekor Ben Mayoch Ala Hachiyas Mason, V'lasa Es Mason. This was the Chafetz Chaim's Chizik, Shperik Aleph and Shara HaTorah. He's going to tell you why you should learn Torah, because Ki Be'emes En Keis L'Kedushas HaTorah. And you know what the Raya is to En Keis L'Kedushas HaTorah? Ein muktim u'me'uchav ha'tayra. Just to end with one other paragraph. So he says, ve'ein o'ilam eskayim elo b'shvil ha'tayra. And he says, v'zel loshen ha'zoyer ha'kodesh. He quotes two zoyers. One in Parashas Bereishis and one in Parashas Sav. Parashas Bereishis. I'm reading it from the Targum side. Kol misha oisik b'tayra b'chol yoyim. A person that learns Torah every day. Hashtag daf hayoymi. Yiske she yia loy chelik loylam haba. He's going to marry a chelik in loylam haba. V'yichoshev loy ki'ilu bana oylamos. And it's going to be considered as if he literally created worlds. Shari bat Torah nivna oylam. Because Torah was created, the world was created with Torah. Zesha kosev Hashem b'chachma yasad eretz. V'chol she oisek ba, anyone that learns Torah, mishachlel hoylamos u'makayim oysam. He becomes a shutif. He literally becomes Hashem's partner. Boyurei beruach asa kodesh baruch hu es ha'oylam u'beruach miskayim. Chazal say, this is the Zohar talking. The world was created with Ruach, and the world exists with Ruach. What's the Ruach? It's the Hevel Piyam of the Loim Deitayra. For a Ruach shall oisim ha'amelim b'tayra. That's the Zohar in Parashas Bereishis. Zohar in Parashas Sa. Pasach Rabbi Lazar v'omar. V'osim dvorai b'ficha. Ubetzel yadi kisi sicha lo madnu kol adam oisik b'divrei Torah v'sef sois of doive vois b'Torah hakadosh baruch hu chayfei falav Hashem resides on top of him v'hashchina pireses olav kinafeha and the shchina literally spreads its wings and protects this person that's learning Torah v'lo yoyed elashu mekayim ha'olam v'hakadosh baruch hu sameach ima Hashem is so happy with him kilu b'yoy mahu nata shemayim v'aretz. Either way, that's the rest of the story of Eim Muktim u'me'uchav b'Torah. Why is it Eim Muktim u'me'uchav b'Torah? Why, if Yisroi really came before after Matan Torah, so why is it Vayishma Yisroi and then only afterwards you have the parasha Matan Torah by Shishi and by some of the later aliyahs? And why is it that if really Korach came in parashas Bamidbar, so first you have the story of the Meraglim and then you have the parashas Korach? The reason is, like Rabbi Lazar said, lo nitnu parashas ha'Torah la seder. It's for that reason we had no choice but the Torah. Certain parashas of Torah had to be written at a Seder, because if we would have access to the Torah b'shleimus, it would be game over, and it's not possible. We put in this world, so there should be some level of hester panim, there should be some will, free will, some bechira. How do you have free will? Through Eim Muktim u'me'uchav b'Torah.